Welcome to the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast. I'm Patrick Gilbert, the executive director at Adventure Media Group. And this is a podcast where we talk about digital advertising, marketing, and other concepts related to business consulting and career growth. Today, we're going to play a recording from a keynote speech that I delivered in October of 2019. The event was the Google Premier Partner Awards held in Dublin, Ireland. And the topic that is covered in this presentation is essentially the preamble for what became the book, Join or Die, Digital Advertising in the Age of Automation. So if you're interested in the book, if you're interested in the future of digital advertising and agencies in the modern era of machine learning and automation, I think you'll enjoy. We'll see you next week. What I'm here to do today is show you how our agency broke old habits. We embrace this new technology they keep hearing about. I'm going to walk you through my own personal struggle with this technology and how, for a long time, we were kind of rooting against it. And ultimately, this technology helped us to become better marketers, earn more revenue for our clients, and more profit for our agency. So, I'm Patrick. Thanks for having me. This is my first time in Ireland, and I've loved every second of it. I'm the director of client services at Adventure Media Group, a digital ad agency in New York. We're in the business of profitably growing our clients' businesses. And about 2 years ago, we began this massive transformation in the way that we go about managing digital ad campaigns. And in short, we embrace automation, and we've benefited greatly from it. Now, this transformation led to a series of articles I wrote for our blog, most notably one titled, Join or Die, It's Time to Embrace Google Automation. Now, this article led to received a lot of praise throughout the PVC community. And I'm totally fine with admitting the fact that it would be nothing if it wasn't for the catchy title and featured image of the snake. Now, before you're thinking, what's going on here? Some guy named Patrick, he's bringing snakes back into Ireland. I don't know what's going on here. What I'm really trying to get at here is Join or Die, and the symbol of the separated snake, is it's a symbol from the American Revolution. Ben Franklin penned the image as part of a political cartoon to try and unite the US colonies to fight against the British Empire. And it's relevant to the automation piece, because this is a complex animal. It's not some sort of set it and forget it type of technology. There's a lot of different parts that you really need to understand and work together to be able to drive performance for your clients. So let's start with, why is there so much pushback against this technology? As I said before, I mean, we pushed back. We were very hesitant for a long time. And I've thought a lot about this. And the answer is fear. We were afraid of it. We thought it would make us irrelevant. And you know, there's a lot of articles like this on the internet where people push back and you know, they say, I've been burned by automation. It doesn't work for this client, it doesn't work for this strategy. And my favorite one is it's just Google trying to get you to spend more of your money. And it all stems from fear. You know, our biggest fear was that the value that we provided to clients would be taken away from us, or that you know, the clients themselves would feel that we weren't needed anymore. You know, things like optimizing keyword bids and day parting and building massive campaigns with single keyword ad groups, these are things that clients thought they paid us to do, and we agreed to that. The value that we provided was logged in the change history tool. It was quantifiable. But along the way, I think we lost sight of what they were really paying us to do, which was to earn them profit and grow their business. Now, here's a screenshot of an account that we inherited in the spring of 2017. Now, you can see there's 20,000 changes that were logged over a 14-month period. It's about 350 changes per week. But the trend line shows that this client wasn't growing or becoming more profitable at all during that time. And I'm going to come back to the slide a little bit later. But my goal here today, we're going to cover a couple different topics, and I hope to maybe make you laugh once or twice. But ultimately, I want you to understand that while automation will change your job, it will not replace you. And in fact, the opportunity to provide value to your clients is now greater than it has ever been. So how did we get here? The simple version of it is because marketers love to oversimplify things. We like to take massive groups of our audience and lump them into various categories and buyer personas. We like to think things that, like, all people that use this search term are more relevant and valued in my business than all people who use that search term. And that's okay, because up until recently, that was the best that we can do with the technology we had available to us. But we now have the
ability to go at the individual, the micro level. And yet so many advertisers are hesitant to embrace this technology. So here's a few rules of thumb that are often ignored. Not all of your users that perform the same search are created equal. That is, everyone who does the search for pre-built custom gaming PCs, they're not all the same. Not all of your audience segments, the people within those various audience segments are created equal. Not all of your cart abandoners are created equal, for example. Not all of your leads that filled out a contact form on 2 p.m. at Tuesday are created equal. And not all of your customers, even if they bought the exact same thing, are created equal. These generalized strategies ignore the fact that every customer, every individual, is unique. And sure, I'm sure that some of your audiences, these generalized strategies, they outperform other vague categories of other audiences. I would imagine that your cart abandoners have a higher conversion rate on your site than your previous customers. But ultimately, that is a limited strategy and will cap your growth potential with clients. So let's take a look at, I know I'm not the first person to probably talk about the funnel today, but let's take a look at the marketing funnel and how this has changed over time. This is what every PPC strategy looked like, more or less, for the last 15 years, where at the top of the funnel over here, you have the highest quantity of people, but the lowest predicted conversion rate. The bottom of the funnel, you have the fewest amount of people, in this case, people performing branded searches, with the highest predicted conversion rate. Now, how high you were able to go up in this funnel depended on a lot of factors. But the reality of it is, and I've worked with a lot of companies over the years, the reality is that how high you were able to go up on this, if a client really wanted to realize a positive return on ad spend, the top half of this funnel, just completely off limits. Now, I want to be able to go to the top of this funnel because that means my clients are spending more money, and that means I can charge them more. So I'm absolutely interested in a solution that will help me travel up funnel. And automation has changed this. So here's a practical example. This is the Chelsea Megastore. It's the official online retailer of the Chelsea Football Club with free worldwide delivery on all orders. Now, I would imagine that their search campaigns may have looked something like this, where at the bottom of the funnel, you have people performing branded searches for Chelsea Megastore. Then you go up the funnel to things that are a little bit more broad. Once we get to the point where we're doing searches for soccer over football, most advertisers probably would have thought, this isn't going to be, the conversion rate's not going to be high enough where we're going to be able to drive profit and a positive return on ad spend. But that's the limitation when you look at this through the lens of only what the search query was, and especially location, right? So what if Google knew that, I'm skipping ahead here, but what if Google knew that I often stream Chelsea matches? Or that I'm constantly Googling to look up the scores of different matches, while I'm at work or at home, who knows. What if Google knew that I was recently browsing flights between New York City and London and doing Google Map searches for pubs and restaurants in the area around Stamford Bridge? Don't you think Chelsea Megastore should be willing to bid aggressively on my search, regardless of where in the world I was, regardless of what my search query was, because Google really had a good idea that I was gonna convert and convert quickly? Now, what if Google also, and then I'll take it one step further. What if there was a trend that we couldn't even think about where individuals that were flying overseas to attend sporting events were likely to spend twice as much on apparel in the month leading up to a sporting event than local fans? Now, I have no idea if that's a trend that exists, but Google certainly would. Now, the funnel is wider than it has ever been. And the reason for that is because automation uses signals across your entire account, meaning your branded clicks and branded conversions are helping make the system make more intelligent decisions about a YouTube prospecting campaign. We're not restrained to the context of a search query. We can now go after high intent traffic with all these other signals at play. So far, let's go over what we've covered so far, right? So we've had we've talked about why we're afraid of automation. We've covered the limitations in looking at a generalized strategy. And then we looked at, what is the value and the potential in scaling up a funnel and what that means for us as agencies. But I want to change gears a little bit and talk about my own experience with this technology and how this has changed our agency. So you might be thinking, why this guy? Or rather, why this agency has just dropped everything and embraced automation? And it's not as glamorous as you might think. We just didn't decide one day that this is it. Oh, I got one more. Forgot about the last guy there. It was a few things at once. So the first thing that happened was we had inherited a few accounts that had seen some success with automation in the past. So there was some data there. Then we had received some access to automation-related betas, and we saw success with that, so that was good as well. And then also, just out of curiosity, we started to research it on our own. The concept of machine learning was fascinating, and we learned more about it as a whole and then how it, the practical application for digital ad campaigns. But I wasn't completely sold on it until one evening when I made an absolute fool of myself on the golf course. Now, I love golf. I'm not very good at it, as you'll find out in a second. But I play as often as I can, and one evening I was fitting in 9 holes after work with a couple of my buddies, and we're on the ninth hole, the last hole of the night, at this course on Long Island called Harbor Links. And this is the ninth hole. And I stood on the tee box and talking a big game, and I took a full swing. The ball came off in a beautiful ball flight and landed right on the green. But in my follow-through, I somehow just let the club slip out of my hand. And it went sailing up in a helicopter fashion and landed in the middle of this lake and sank right to the bottom. There was no chance of me ever recovering that club. And my buddies, I've not heard the end of it. But so I drove home that night frustrated, not just because I was down a wedge, but because I missed the birdie putt because I stink. But I drove home that night and I sat down and I pulled out my phone and I did a search for 52 degree wedge on Google. I looked at a few different Google shopping ads, found a reputable brand that was having a sale, clicked 3 buttons and converted. And then I had this bit of an aha moment. It said, maybe these Google people know what they're talking about. Maybe I should listen a little bit more. Because I searched for 52 degree wedge. I didn't search for best 52 degree wedge. I didn't search for something long tail and specific. I wasn't looking for a model number. I wasn't looking for a specific brand. But Google knew. So it piqued my interest and I started asking questions, too many questions to be honest. I started, you know, when automation worked for us, I wanted to know why. When it didn't work, I wanted to know even more. I became obsessed. And then I had this painful self-realization moment where I looked back at my earliest experience with automation and I thought, of course it failed. I started to accept the blame for the fact that I never gave it a chance. You know, I was rooting against it. I wanted it to fail. I wanted to be better than the algorithms because I thought that was the only way for me to keep my job. And I thought, maybe that's not the only answer. Maybe there is a way where this is going to change my job, but not necessarily replace me. And then I figured, why don't we just position ourselves as the pro automation agency? Let's change gears completely. Let's go all in on it. And it worked. In the last 18 months, our agency has doubled in size. Going back to the golf example, my search, 52 degree wedge, was at the top of the funnel. Most people would not have expected to be able to drive profit from that. But Google knew that I often buy impulsively golf gear, that I use all these, I use my Gmail address to log into all these different golf apps where I track my crummy scores. And Google even knew that I played that night. I used Google Maps to get to and from the course. And the advertiser that was willing to factor all that in and say, regardless of the search query, we're going to go after this person with a really, really high targeted ad, was the one that won my business. So all these things being factored in now, all these other signals, data points, these variables that we just never really took advantage before, we glossed over because we just didn't think it was that, we just didn't think it was going to work, and we set ourselves up to fail. The modern funnel doesn't really look much like a funnel. It's more of a process, right? So the first thing we technically do whenever we inherit a new account is we'll take a look at overall best practices, and you know, we know from a broad perspective what works and what doesn't. And then we look at attribution audience signals, basically the data we're feeding into the system, and then we automate like crazy, learn from our mistakes, figure out some new hypotheses, and then we go from there. So now what, right? So we've automated everything. We turn on automation. What happens now? So popped open some champagne. We sold our conference table, got a ping pong table, and then we went on a company ski trip, and it actually wasn't that great of an idea, that last one. But jokes aside, Ronnie's spill here is analogous of what would have happened if we just kind of set it and forget it and walked away and said, okay, well, let's think hard about what a modern agency looks like once we embrace automation. So the real impact of it, we've saved, let's say, 15% of time. I've seen some estimates that go as high as 80% of time that we used to spend doing these monotonous tasks that are now automated. But think about that a little bit more because as an agency that we're a service-based company, it's extremely important for us to be aware of things that take up a lot of our time. So for example, new clients take up a lot of our time. Onboarding, conversion tracking, initial research, these things have and will continue to take up a lot of our time. The next thing is clients that are struggling with performance. And once we embrace automation and then became aware of how to use it to our advantage to be able to drive performance for clients, we had fewer clients that were struggling, which resulted in better retention, fewer clients that were leaving, more profit that can be reinvested in growth going upper funnel. We can charge them more now. That's great news for us, right? But then at the macro impact of it, we now are retaining clients longer, they're growing, we're charging them more. We're not as desperate for new business. We sign fewer clients now on purpose than we ever have. So now going back to what I said a second ago, new clients take up a lot of our time. We have fewer new clients, we're retaining clients, fewer clients that are struggling. Just this whole system of time savings over and over again. And think about what that has done for our profit margins. So what do we do now? Like actually, what do we reinvest with that time? Because we play a lot of ping pong, but not as much as I would like to. Now, we spend time working on, this is gonna sound ridiculous, but things that matter for clients. I wanna get involved beyond just the point of contact that we have in the marketing department. I wanna meet their sales team. I wanna talk to their product engineers. I wanna meet their best customers, and I wanna fly to go meet their best customers with a video crew that I can record a testimonial and use it as a YouTube ad. So, a couple practical examples. Here's a photo I took while we were filming a series of recipe videos for an AMC Network streaming service. Here's a few photos from influencer marketing campaigns that we run for a company called Reset IV. Here's a photo of my colleague Nahama explaining to us this program that she developed that, despite breaking Excel 10 or 15 times, she confidently proved the positive correlation between an increase in a client's investment in YouTube and display and an uptick in direct traffic and branded searches. And lastly, here's myself and my CEO out with a few clients. We spent an entire week at their call center in Denver, taking phone calls, sitting in on customer service calls, doing product demos, and ultimately being able to take all that information back and build landing pages that converted twice as much business. These are things that we never did before until we embraced automation. Video is a big deal. I'm sure you've heard it. I'm not going to bore you with this. This is a video we did for Forbes magazine. Every client wants good video. Few of them actually have the resources to be able to take good videos and make it into a powerful ad. So promise me that some of the time you'll save with automation, you'll invest in some video production. But it's not all fun and games. This is kind of the last major point I want to hit today. Google does a great job of making this stuff look easy. No offense. It's actually much harder under the hood. So there's a few growing pains that you'll experience as you become this automation pro automation agency. And the first is issues are more difficult to troubleshoot. It's not as easy as it once was, where we'd be able to identify a single negative keyword in the search term report. It's not as easy as, oh, this bid's too high. Usually these problems require a lot higher level of creative problem solving and business acumen, which is a little bit more difficult. Attribution is difficult, has been difficult, will be difficult, especially as you scroll across channels. Now, my word of advice to you is you should really become subject matter experts in all the major CRM tools, especially for any of your B2B lead gen clients. Things like Salesforce, Zoho, HubSpot, these are things that I've seen a lot of clients that spend a ton of money in these platforms, and not a single person at the company has any idea how to set it up or how to integrate it with your ad campaigns. So if you can do that, that's a huge value that you can add. Cultivating talent. You need the right type of people to work with this technology, and not all of them are going to have a background in PPC. You need to be able to hire for things like critical thinking and creative problem solving, and then invest in your talent to help them grow within your agency. Lastly, overcoming misconceptions. We've all made up our mind about automation, right? But it's not just you and me. It's our clients, too. I've had a lot of clients tell me, oh, I don't want you using automation in my campaigns. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for us. It's going to waste all of our money. It's Google trying to get you to spend more of your money. We have to change the narrative. I was actually doing a talk like this not too long ago in London, and I was out for dinner afterwards getting text messages from one of my clients saying, hey, look, our CEO is doing searches for our bottom funnel keywords, not seeing our ads. He's freaking out. What do I do? And I've had this conversation millions of times. I'm sure you guys have all had this conversation. And I've repeated it like a broken record to say, hey, look, you got to understand that we optimize impressions based on predicted conversion rate. And your CEO performing this search has a near 0% chance of converting. So therefore, the fact that he's not seeing an impression is actually proof that all this stuff is working the way it should. But that's a complicated thing to explain. And that's an even more complicated thing for my point of contact to that marketing department to go to his boss and say, hey, this is actually why. So I need all of you together to stand with me and help change the narrative about what we do. Because what you and I do for a living is completely misinterpreted by the general public and by our clients. Our job is to manage algorithms. We don't just put up billboards on Google. And it's up to us to change that. Now, just like once we together all embrace automation and we learn how to make it work for our clients and drive performance, and then we take the time that we've saved to reinvest in things that matter for our clients, then we're going to be able to change that narrative together. And I promise you that there's nothing to fear. Because while automation is not replacing you, but it will change the way in which you provide value to your clients. Now, I want to come back to this client that I spoke about earlier, where there was a lot of changes over a 14-month period, but zero growth. Now, we took over at the dotted line. And automation is one of the things that helped us scale this client's account to more than double their quarterly revenues. And just in this past year, we've worked with these folks for about 2 years now. Just in this past year, 47% increase in revenue, 70% increase in return on ad spend year over year. This stuff works. This client's thrilled. It's great to work with them. So it's not as scary as you might think. In fact, it's kind of awesome. So please embrace it. Check us out online. That's all I have for today. AdventurePPC.com. We have a lot of follow-up material on this topic about how to work with automation, how to make a change inside your culture. The agency overdrive's awesome for agency owners that want to learn from our mistakes. There's a lot of those. And then, connect with me online. I'd love to meet all new folks in the industry, especially you guys over here. A lot more friendly than folks in New York. But that's all I have. Thanks so much, guys.